I enjoyed that, didn't you? Amen. Go and tell. That's what we're challenged to do this year, is to go and tell and try to each one win one. What a difference it'll make in the kingdom if we all are successful at doing that. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 18. The hour of decision is the title of the message. Very familiar passage of Scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I want to talk to you this morning on the topic, the subject, the hour of decision. I think all of us have heard the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you. If you leave here today without knowing that, then you missed the main part of the message. Jesus loves you. And even though one may say no to him, he will still say, I love you. In other words, there's nothing that you can do that'll ever stop God from loving you. However, if one does not accept him in mercy, then one day he will face him in judgment. He wrote to us and he told us that we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Now, God would not be God if he were not just. And justice simply means that justice will be done. And the Bible promises that sin will be punished. And that punishment is hell. And those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ are rewarded, and that reward is heaven. If you were to die tonight, where would you go? A good question. If you were to die tonight, where would you go? If you can say, preacher, I know that if I were to die tonight, I would go to heaven. That is a Christian testimony. If you were to die tonight and you stood before God and he said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Would you say, well, preacher or Lord, I've been good. I tried to be a decent, upstanding citizen, a good parent. I paid my bills. I tried to be a keeper of the great commandments and the golden rule. And I would say to you, if that is what is in your mind, it is obvious you're not a Christian. God does not save the self-righteous person. He does not save that one that is content with their own self-goodness. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you have closed the door of damnation upon yourselves because the most righteous men in the world cannot get to heaven on their own merit. Now this morning, the hour of decision is that time when God in the person of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God comes to you and you're confronted with a decision about what to do with Jesus Christ. Well, this morning I want us to talk about this hour of decision. Jesus Christ or self-righteousness. Who goes to heaven? Only Jesus Christ can get you to heaven. You see, it is not bad people who go to hell and good people who go to heaven. It is saved people who go to heaven and unsaved people who go to hell. The worst form of disobedience or badness is human goodness substituted for the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you place your own righteousness above that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some may not be worried about the fact of self-righteousness because they're living in the depths of sin. Maybe they're a drunkard, an alcoholic. Maybe they are a drug addict, a prostitute. Whatever their fate in life is at this particular time, you see, the important thing is that those are individuals that are on the road to a devil's hell. And he's simply reminding us that even that one that's in the gutters of sin, that one that could be classified as the dirtiest drunks in the gutters of sin, and yet I want you to know that God loves that person just as much as he does that individual that sits behind the desk at the bank of the local bank here in our community. Now, there are those who are miserable. Their homes are on the rocks this morning, and the reason for all their problems is that Christ is not the center of their life. You can tell folks this is what you need. But until they come to the place that they realize that and turn their hearts and their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll continue to stay in all of their problems and dilemma. God help us that we'll wake up and realize that it is Jesus Christ and not our own self-righteousness that's going to give us peace and going to help us to make heaven our home. Life is brief. If you were to live 100 years, it would only be a short time in comparison to eternity. Where are we going to spend eternity? Where are we going to spend the most of the rest of our lives? You see, if you live to be 80, 90, or 100 years of age, yet it's just a short time in comparison to eternity. You see, eternity never ends. When God breathed into your nostrils and mine the breath of life when we were born, he gave us a living soul, and the soul of a man will never die. So we're going to live somewhere forever and forever and forever. I want to know that when I die, and I understand that there are only two places that I can go, that's heaven or hell, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. I want to make heaven my home, and I don't want to go to that terrible place. Well, the Bible said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you don't have to be good enough. That's the good news about becoming a Christian. You don't have to be good enough to be saved. In fact, not being good enough is the first prerequisite. You see, God wants to pick us up out of sin and wash us white as snow and take us into the place that he has provided for those that love him. Now, if the doctor gave you some medicine this morning, you wouldn't take that medicine and put it on the dresser, but you would take it knowing that the only way you're going to get well is to take that medicine. Now listen, whatever people are in this world, Jesus can make them different. If they are dirty this morning, he can make them clean. If they are lonely this morning, he can keep them company. And if they are weak this morning, he can make them strong. If they are confused this morning, he can get things straightened out in their life. And I can tell you that if your life is hellish on the inside, he can make it heavenly. You see, our God knows what you need. He not only has the answer, he is the answer. Remember listening a number of years ago to Billy Graham's radio program called The Hour of Decision. Now, this was simply a program that was designed to bring folks to that time of decision in their life about what to do with Jesus Christ. Kind of reminds me of the young man, and you know, when Billy Graham was kind of in his prime, every young preacher tried to preach like Billy Graham. This young preacher got up and he preached his first sermon at the church, and he went to the back to shake hands with folks, and as they came out, this one lady said, "Oh, son, Billy Graham couldn't hold a light to you. That is the greatest sermon I ever heard." Well, he bowed his head. He said, Lord, help me not to get puffed up. Well, God answered his prayer. A little bit later, another lady came by and said, son, that was the worst sermon I ever heard in my life. That GP you saw in the clouds must have meant go paint. It sure didn't mean go preach. But God wants us to come to the hour of decision in our life about spiritual matters. You see, you're not going to stay here forever. And I don't care if you're wealthy, I don't care if you're poor, or somewhere in between. You see, you're all going to have to leave here that same way. I look in the obituary and I check it out every day. And I feel good when I don't see my name in there, you know. Many of us face decisions. I heard of a preacher's wife who came home with a new dress. That preacher was not particularly spirit-filled at the moment. He said, honey, you know that we cannot afford that new dress. What did it cost? She replied, well, it was on sale for $40, and I just couldn't pass it up. And, honey, I saved you $20. He said, you didn't save me $20. You spent $40. Why did you buy it? She said, well, the devil tempted me to buy it. He said, why didn't you do what the Bible says and say, get thee hence behind me, Satan? She said, I did, but he said it looked just as good from back here too. There are a lot of decisions in life. Sometimes the devil helps us to make them too, brother. Well, the question is, Jesus Christ or self-righteousness? Your choice. Secondly, love of the world or love of God? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before God exceedingly. Well, Lot made his decision, and he made his decision for the world instead of God. That was his hour of decision, and he obviously made the wrong choice. In 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, Lot came to the point of decision, and obviously he made the wrong decision. He and Abraham decided that they would go in different directions. And Abraham, being the Christian gentleman that he was, he said, you choose which side of the land that you want to go on. And he looked and he saw the arid country. And then he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he decided, this is where I'm going to go because it'll take care of my herds and my flocks. And he made the choice and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Well, there's nothing wrong with a man or a woman desiring lovely things, a lovely home. There's nothing wrong with a person wanting nice clothes and nice furniture and all of that. But the evil comes when we make a choice and we decide to go our way instead of God's way. And there are some times that folks make their decisions based on what they want, not what God wants. Has led for us to do. And I'm going to tell you, you'll always get in trouble. You'll always find trouble when you try to do it your way and you make the choice instead of letting God. Well, the Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, you can gain all the world, and I said this last week, the whole world, you can have it all. But when it comes the time for you to leave here, you're going to leave it all behind. I've known of mothers who would do almost anything in order for their daughters to be able to be voted on as one of the cheerleaders at the local high school. If a parent is trying to push her daughter towards social graces, it could result in pushing them towards spiritual disgrace. There's nothing wrong with things that are beautiful and good. But in the midst of all of that, be careful, because sometimes that's where the deadly snakes are. I remember a few years ago, you might have read it in the newspaper, Shawnee, Oklahoma. This man went out to his little building out behind the house, and he was going to get something. He'd let the foliage, the weeds kind of grow up around it, and he came out of that building, and he got bit by a rattlesnake. Well, it scared him. He fell backwards, and he fell into the grass, and he got bit by a couple of copperheads. Well, the man just about died. They did save his life, but he just about died. But it reminds us that there are things that we decide to do, making our own choices, that can bring us into trouble and even spiritual death. There are things out there that can kill. Now, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, but if you have to sell your soul in order to do it, you'll regret it as long as you live in this life and in the next life to come. It's a shame that some people come to this hour of decision about the world and God, and they make the wrong choice. I've had folks say something like this: "Oh, preacher, we're so happy. We bought a cabin down at the lake, and now we can go to the lake 3 weekends every month." I will tell you, that makes me sad, because it simply means that they're not going to be in church. And if they're not careful, it will totally get them out of church. Be careful what you do. Pray about what you do. If there's anything that will hinder you from living for the Lord and making heaven your home, brethren, don't do it. That's good advice. Don't do it. Anything that will slow you down in your service for God, just don't do it. Do what God wants you to do. If you pray about it and you lay it on the altar and say, "God, give me your direction," God will do just that this morning. Well, some parents get upset when their children are saved or when they come and they submit to ministry. And they'll say something like this: "Well, I had so much higher hopes for them than that." Kind of reminds me of what the fellow said: "I would rather my boys be missionaries, die at the bloody hands of savages in foreign jungles and love God, than to graduate from Oxford, go to the parties with the big shot that put a doubt over the Word of God. I have no financial ambitions for my children, only spiritual ambitions. If we live in a shack with Jesus in our hearts, we're kings. What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And then believing God or doubting God. Remember in Numbers chapter 13, it said, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak there, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight as grasshoppers.'" Or they came to the hour of decision between believing God and doubting God. Did they forget so soon that God had led them out of Egyptian bondage by miracle? Did they forget how that God provided water and how that God protected them from the enemies along the way? You see, Joshua and Caleb, the two believing spies out of the 12, said, "We can do it. Let's go up at once and possess the land, for we're well able to overcome it." But they listened to the majority report that says, "We can't do it." God had already promised them the land. All they had to do was step forward, and God would have given them victory. Well, the reason some churches stay in the dry, the reason some churches are stale and they're dying, is simply because they believe their own brain instead of what God says. If I had to depend just on my mind, I would be in bad shape. You see, when a person believes God and makes a decision towards God, that's the issue that makes a difference. You see, any church, any pastor, anyone that's in leadership in the church, if they do not consult the will of God for what needs to be done and follow God's direction, they're going to have trouble. They're going to have problems. God help us that we'll remember He's the main one. He's the one that we are to please. You remember when the Israelites faced that giant by the name of Goliath? They had their armor and their swords, and they could have gone out and fought against the giant, but they didn't want to. They were scared. And here comes a young boy by the name of David, and he had a slingshot, and he went down by the brook, and he picked up 5 smooth stones, put them in his pouch, and he took that one stone, put it in the slingshot, and he came up against that great giant of a man that defied the living God of Israel. And he said, "You will not do that. You will not get away with it." And he took that slingshot and he threw it and it hit him and he fell down. He got his sword and he cut his head off, you know. God gave the victory. You see, that there were those of the Egyptians or the Israelites that thought he's just too big to hit. But David thought he's just too big to miss. And so he went and God gave the victory. It's all a matter of believing God. I'm convinced that anything God calls you to do, that He'll give you the power and He'll enable you to get it done. God has told us to be witnesses, go into all the world and preach the gospel. God has told us to bring all the tithe into the storehouse of the Lord that His house might be full, that it might be taken care of. And He said, "I will open the windows of heaven and bless you. I will restrict the devourer for your sake." God has told us to be faithful, to go out, and without faith it's impossible to please God. He's told us to pray. We're to pray without ceasing. God has told us to be preachers of the word. Every Christian, if everyone will win one, it'll whet your appetite. You'll want to win two, or maybe 3 or 4 or 5. God help us that we'll realize that God has called us not just to come in and sit on the pew and listen to the sermons and the songs that are sung and go home and say, "We've been blessed." God blesses you that you might go out and make a difference. He empowers you, fills you, that you can give out to others during the week that you are to have in front of you. We face giants all the time, brother. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be afraid when God tells us to do something, because God has never told us to do anything that He'll let us do alone. But He'll always be with us. David, that rock that he had in that slingshot, knocked that giant down because there was a giant torpedo coming behind it. When you get yourself in line with God, God will bring power into your life that you never dreamed of. God will do things in your life that you never thought possible, because He delights in doing the impossible. And then human logic or disobedience to God. For Samuel, he says in 1 Samuel 15:23, "For the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, He has also rejected thee from being king." Now Saul was a man who never fulfilled his greatest spiritual heights, because he decided to do what he wanted to do instead of what God wanted him to do. He came to Amalek, and God said, "Destroy them all. Don't save anything." And he spared the best, you remember. He disobeyed God. And then he lost his kingship as a result. I've heard folks tell me things like this: "Preacher, I don't like to hear a sermon about hell, because it conjures up some thoughts in my mind that is not pleasant." And I thought, well, what do you think that hell really is? It's named hell for a reason, because it's bad. It's a place of fire that is not quenched. It is a place of torments. Hell is a place where the worm dieth not. That is, you won't ever pass out of existence. You'll always be alive, and you'll have all of your senses, and you'll be able to feel the pains of hell. Hell is terrible. A lady once said, to me, God is a loving, understanding, and merciful God. And I say, that's true. But that's only half of the coin. You see, he is also a God of judgment and justice. We need to quit trying to rewrite the Bible. It's already been written. And God wants us to take just what it says, believe it. We can't throw out what we don't believe. There are some folks who say, I know what the Bible says, but. I've had folks tell me that. I know what the Bible says, but preacher. And then they'll give me a line as to why they're not going to do what God wants them to do. I'm going to tell you, that little conjunction, but, is going to send a lot of good people to hell. A lot of good people to hell. When God speaks, one shouldn't try to put an amendment to the word. When God speaks, he means for us to do it. Somebody said, well, preacher, I have this little sin, but I know that God doesn't begrudge me one little sin. Well, let me tell you, first of all, there's no little sin. And secondly, Jesus said, be you perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yes, God does begrudge that one little sin. Now, he'll forgive you of it, but he does begrudge it. Well, I know what the Bible says about being faithful, but preacher, I work 6 days a week. On the seventh day, I feel like I should just use this as a day of rest. If we know what the Bible teaches, if we know what the Bible teaches and we don't follow it, we are in danger. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that he who knows to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. If we know what the Bible says and we don't respond to it to do what it says, we're in danger of the judgment of God. And then finally, receive Christ now or later. In Acts 24, verse 25, it says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for you. Have you ever heard, don't call me, I'll call you? That's kind of what Felix was saying to Paul. Felix's hour of decision was whether or not he was going to be saved that day or he was going to delay that decision. But I'm going to tell you, there's no record in the Bible anywhere where Felix ever is shown that he repented. He had his day, his hour of decision, his day of grace, and he rejected it. And there's no place in the scripture that says he ever got saved. Felix is in hell right now. He came to his hour of decision and he said, no, not now. God is not some kind of car hop at the root beer stand. We cannot call him just when we want him to come. God says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. One woman said, preacher, I'm waiting for my husband. I'm waiting when he makes up his mind to come to church and we're going to get in, I'm going to be right there behind him. Have you ever thought, now it can be a woman, it can be a man, doesn't matter. But one of these days you might wake up one morning and find yourself in hell because you waited too long. You waited too long. Felix said some other time, but I'm going to tell you, God is under no obligation. To ever give you a chance to hear the gospel again if you've heard it once. He's under no obligation to let you hear it again. He's under no obligation to call you to repentance again. He's under no obligation to reach out to you again. If he's given you an opportunity, he's been just. He's been merciful. You see, we're just passing through, and we have decisions to make all along. But the greatest decision, or our decision, is spiritual. What are you going to do with Jesus? Is he Lord of your life? The good news is, if he's not, he can become Lord of your life this morning. You see, I'm convinced that you're not here this morning by accident. I believe that in the providence of God, in the sovereign will of God, he's made it possible for you to be here today. in order that you might hear the sermon, the Holy Spirit deal with your heart and life. He's given you the invitation to come. This is your hour of decision. I hope and pray this morning that you will say, yes, Lord, and that you will step out if this is your hour and your decision, that you will come to the Lord this morning and let him have his way in your life. You will never regret that. The other, you will regret it for eternity's sake, but you will never regret coming to Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your love and your grace. Thank you for your precious word that speaks to our heart. Lord, I know it's not by oratory or enticing words, but by your Spirit that men, women, boys, and girls are brought to the point of making a decision for you. God, help them this morning that they will not just be almost, but altogether, and that they'll come and submit their heart and life to you. God, help that one that's not ready to meet you to realize this is my hour, this is my time. God is speaking to me. The Holy Spirit is convicting me of my sins and drawing me to repentance. God, help me this morning to respond. This may be the last time that that will ever happen in my life again. Lord, I pray that you will help those that need to come, that they will come this morning, not be ashamed, not be embarrassed, but Lord, they'll come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we'll pray with them, and we know that you'll say, I forgive, go and sin no more. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name.